Welcome. As an influencer, courtesy of Sign You Prep for Kids Syrup, you've been granted exclusive access with Dr. Sears to get your pediatric questions answered. We are very happy to have you participate in today's call. Today, along with other like-minded peers, you will have the opportunity to ask questions and listen to one of America's leading pediatricians about children's health and wellness. I would now like to turn the call over to Dr. Sears. Go ahead, sir. Our next question comes from Melissa, a mother of two from Baltimore, Maryland. Go ahead, Melissa.
Hi, Dr. Sears. My son is 6 weeks old, and I recently started the elimination diet to because we think he might have a sensitivity to dairy or soy, which are a big part of my diet as a vegetarian. And we're scheduled to have his 2 month vaccines in a couple of weeks, and I'm wondering if we should delay them until we've had time to see if there's any impact on his symptoms to avoid side effects, possible side effects from both the vaccines and potentially anything that I might be eating.
Yeah, thank you for that question. That is a very good question. I see that in my office from time to time as well. Of course, it is important. You know, I do feel it's very important to get vaccines, to get them in a timely manner. But I will also offer, my viewpoint on this is that if a baby's nervous system is very irritated, and for example, a baby with colic, something's hurting their tummy, something's kind of just irritating them, and they're real fussy, and their nervous system is simply, just having a lot of irritation right now. I prefer to not throw in a lot of vaccines at the same time that a baby is at the height of colic or at the worst time of colic or really going through all these, food allergies and hours of crying every day. I would say, if over the next couple of weeks your child really calms down and the symptoms of colic or other extreme food sensitivities that you see, if those get all the way better, then I think you certainly can go ahead, with vaccinating in a timely manner. If your child is still a fusser and you think you have more to do or more to investigate, and the colic is troublesome enough where you think your child is pretty irritable, I would put off the vaccines temporarily until you get that more under control. There is a risk if you put off vaccines, and you definitely would want to avoid any sort of child care, no church nurseries. Really limit the number of kids that come around or any other sick people that come around the baby until you do start off with the first immunizations. So I think you are right to be at least a little conscious of making sure your baby is somewhat calmed down before you go into the immunizations. So thank you for asking a very good question.
Our next question comes from John, the father of one, out of Kansas City, Missouri. Go ahead, John.
Oh, hi. I'm just getting ready to pick up my I was going to go into the school and I lose reception, so I'm glad you just asked me to ask my question. I'll be real brief. My son, he's 5 years old, and he has suffered from asthma, and the main trigger, of course, is the allergy to pet dander, where he'll get that breakout, and then all of a sudden he'll have his asthma attack. And then, of course, the other main trigger is the temperature changes and the air quality, and all of a sudden his chest will get congested. He'll start with a runny nose. He'll start with maybe a few days later, a day later, coughing, and then all of a sudden his chest is bad. Well, my main question is, we tried a lot of the regular doctor advice with Pulmicort and all your, stuff that the doctor always tells you have to take. If you don't take it, he'll never get over his allergies or asthma attacks. And we want to get away from that and use natural medicines. So I was attracted to this medicine that was just sent to me, and I thought, are there any others that you can recommend or any other things that are coming or down the road that would almost eliminate his asthma attacks, or is that just something he's going to have to deal with the rest of his life? That's I'm trying to find something better than just my regular doctor.
Yeah. That's a very good question. I will say, overall, for asthma, I don't know of a great asthma, you know, treatment that's really going to take everything away. I'm sure there are some natural treatments out there that may claim to help with asthma, but I just haven't come across anything that's really, you know, really going to fit that bill. Some things that you may not have done yet is, number one, of course, with a pet dander, I'm assuming that you don't have the pets that he's allergic to, and if you do, I understand pets are special and everything, but you know, this asthma could become lifelong if you don't, you know, take away the allergic sources. So simply, you know, not having the pets and not going to friends' houses who have the pets your child is allergic to. If you know your child's going to go over to a house that does have a pet, but it's a good friend and you really want them to play together, play outside, first of all, it would be really helpful. You can give your child, I think, you know, an allergy antihistamine medication before going to that, you know, to play with a friend. I think it's fine. It's not an everyday thing. It's just the occasional use of an antihistamine so your child can enjoy some play at a friend's house who has a pet. Now, the temperature changes, climate changes, air quality. What I'm a big fan of is an ionic type of air filter, an ionic type. And you'd want to get the ionic kind of filter that one unit does the whole house. One unit, you just go somewhere in the middle of the house, and it's probably about the size of two or three large shoe boxes stacked up. And an ionic filter can really do a good job of, you know, cleaning up the air quality within your home. Of course, you can't affect what's outside. But if you have these outside allergies or pet allergies or temperature changes, every day when your child comes home from school, take off their clothes, have them change their clothes, give them a quick shower so that you're washing off all the outside stuff, everything he's exposed to during the day, so he's not bringing it into the house. And you have, you know, just put on some fresh clothes, and that's, you know, that's a good way to keep anything he's exposed to at school from really entering his bedroom. I hear what you're saying, and I understand the question, and I wish there was a great asthma allergy cure-all that has been developed. I would really make sure you've just had every you know, allergy, you know, been tested for everything that you possibly could be tested from to see if he's allergic to it, you know, all the different foods. And I would throw out that you're right, general medicine, we don't have a great answer for this kind of situation besides using medications unless we can identify the allergen. If you've done everything you can to take away all the possible allergies and your child is still suffering from asthma, I would maybe try to seek some help from a naturopathic doctor. I would definitely give a naturopathic doctor a good try to see if they can improve your situation. Thank you for asking. Okay, this question is about sibling rivalry, and I wanted to answer this because it's a very, very common thing for anyone who has that second baby, you know, and what is the first child going to do if he's, you know, 2, 3, or 4? And you know, this mom writes how her older child kind of pokes at the baby and pulls and does little things with the baby to make the baby cry, and how can she address this? What I really encourage parents to do is, number one, if it's your second baby, you know by now that babies aren't that fragile. They can handle the little poking and prodding and squeezing, and they're really not going to get hurt from the little exploratory or sort of curiosity touching and poking that the older child is going to do. So I would, first of all, be careful not to always say no to the older child and say, you know, don't touch the baby, or be careful of the baby, or don't poke the baby, and try not to say, you know, no, 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 don't, do all this stuff. Just kind of, you know, be there with the baby and the older child. Let the older child kind of explore, you know, what can he do, what can't he do. Let him do things, and if you think he does anything that could hurt the baby, you can rescue the baby without really coming down on the older child. let's kind of pick the baby up, or say, you know, to your older child, hey, let's pick the baby up, and why don't you and I come over here and go, you know, go do this or that. Rescue the baby without the older one realizing that you're rescuing the baby because of something he did. You never want to really give the older child attention or really focus on any of these negative behaviors. If you just let the older child do these little exploratory and curiosity, you know, things for, you know, a couple of weeks, you know, staying nearby to make sure the baby isn't really hurt, the older one will start to realize what he can and can't do, what the baby's going to handle and not handle. And in the meantime, you haven't said, no, don't, be careful, you can't do that. You're not coming down on him all the time, and he's not developing these negative feelings toward the baby. Another important thing is try not to interrupt anything you're doing with the older child in order to do something with the baby. Now, of course, you're thinking, well, I have to change the baby's diaper, I have to feed the baby's fussy. Of course, there's a lot of things you are going to have to do with the baby, but you can do them in a way that the older child doesn't feel like you're interrupting what you're doing with the older child. If you're playing a game with the older child, change the baby right next to where you are. Feed the baby sitting there right on the floor, you know, while you're reading a book to your older child. If you're outside doing something with the older child and the baby needs something, kind of just do it, you know, wherever you are outside and be prepared. So the older one isn't seeing that his whole life is being interrupted by the baby all the time, and instead the baby is kind of entering his and your life together. He's going to have a much more positive, you know, outlook towards the baby. And I think these are some of the things you can do that can really, really lower the sibling rivalry and help people get off to a much better and happier start.
Our final question comes from Julie, a mother of one from Austin, Texas. Go ahead, Julie.
Dr. Sears, there's so much controversy surrounding vaccinations nowadays that I'm approaching the six-month checkup with my son, and I'm just really nervous about what I should be doing. Can you recommend research I can do or questions I should be asking my pediatrician and different alternative time schedules that you recommended on your website so that I know what to do in these next couple years here?
Yeah, it's a great question, of course. You know, this vaccines are by far the single most controversial part of pediatric care right now. I certainly can recommend an excellent, outstanding book written by, you know, it's very well written and very complete, written by this doctor named Dr. Bob Sears. It's called The Vaccine Book, and it's really, it, you know, I wrote it, and it came out about a year ago. This is, you know, one area that I'm very passionate about is helping parents understand the pros and cons, the reasons to vaccinate, and the potential side effects or the potential problems with vaccinating, and how can you minimize these problems as best you can, and what kind of schedule can you follow that lowers the side effects and lowers all the theoretical risks of vaccinating, but achieves full vaccination, you know, eventually. And my book really, you know, really goes into great depth at putting all this information together. I don't know if the particular person that asked this, you know, if when you asked this question, I don't know if you've seen the book yet, but if you haven't, I think you'll really find what you're looking for in alternative schedules, different options, ways to more carefully vaccinate, ways to more slowly vaccinate, yet, you know, eventually becoming fully vaccinated over many more years. As a pediatrician, I'm not a big fan of lumping all the shots together, all, you know, all at the same time at each checkup. I think that is a little bit of an overload for the babies, and I'm, in my office, I've been very open to parents who wanted to spread shots out a little bit. And I do think vaccinating is very important. I like all my patients to get fully vaccinated, but I do offer them ways to do it more slowly and gradually without, you know, overloading their kids. So you might find the vaccine book very helpful to you.
Well, thank you very much, doctor, and thank you to all our participants for calling into today's call. Well, thank you very much, doctor, and thank you to all our participants for calling into today's call.